Thank you for listening to this audio message from Grace Life Center Charismatic Renewal Ministries. For more information about our church, please visit our website www.gracelifecenter.com or call 657-206-7729.
Break every chain, break every chain. Yeah, to break every chain, break every chain. Break every
chain. It will be in the outline, and the Lord will, I'm trusting the Lord to use it to be a blessing to you in Jesus' name. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. The Bible says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. Holy Spirit, I welcome you this morning. I ask you that you shall visit us in a special way. I am but a man, but you have given me the privilege to bring the word of God to your people this morning. I ask you that you shall take that word and you shall make it spirit and life to all that hear in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray that, Lord, that word will come, your word will come forth in power, will come forth with much grace and blessing to all that hear. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. And let the people of God say amen. So we are looking at a series called Bearing the Fruit of Love. And we have been speaking about love from the beginning of the year. We are continuing to talk about love. And the reason why is because God has called us in Grace Life Center to be a people of love. Can somebody say we are a people of love? Amen. Our mission in Grace Life Center is to bring many people to Christ and to teach those people to love God, love themselves, love the people of God, and love God's word in response to God's love for them. So you see, love is everywhere. Because love is the only motivation. Can somebody say love is the only motivation? If it is not motivated by love, it is of no value. If it is not motivated by love, it is of no value. Anything and everything we do that is motivated by anything else but love, what are the other motivations? Sometimes we are motivated by fear. Like some people come to church so that pastor will not call them and say, why didn't you come to church? Praise the Lord. That's a motivation of fear. Amen. Why others come to church so that they will not think that they're backsliding? That's another motivation. But that's a motivation of pride. The only motive for you to come to church is what? Is the Lord. It's love. The only reason you should come is love. It's because you love God, you love being in the presence of God, you love being somebody that God can use, you love meeting the brethren, you love fellowship with the brethren, you love to bless people in the presence of God. That's the reason why you come. That is the motive. Love has to be the motive for everything that we do. Otherwise, it lacks value. It deteriorates in value. And so we are looking at how we can bear this love. And I was asking God, God, why are we doing another series on love? And God said, teach my people the practicals. Can somebody say the practicals? So we want to look at practicals now. We want to go into this series. What are the practical ways we can manifest love? We can express love. How can love that is in us be made manifest? And the key point here in Galatians chapter 5 is that love is a fruit of the Spirit. Can somebody say it's a fruit of the Spirit? In John chapter 15, when Sister Hassi was sharing with us from that verse, she pointed that to us. How many of us have listened to that message again? Now you don't have an excuse because if you download the app, you can listen to the message again. Can I hear amen? Praise the Lord. He pointed out to us that she pointed out to us that we are to bear the fruit, which means we are not to produce it, but we are to do what? We are to bear it. We bear the fruit. We carry the fruit. The producer of the fruit is who? Is the Holy Spirit. And then the very next day, the very next week, Brother Emmanuel Akinboye shared with us that we are one spirit with that spirit. We have the same spirit. Our spirit and the Spirit of God are one and the same. There's a fusion that has taken place that the Spirit of God is now in us. So the fruit of the Spirit is love. And I want you to note that the Bible is very funny the way it says this. It didn't say the fruits of the Spirit are. Hello? Is that what your Bible is saying? The Bible didn't say the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy. So all these other things are the fruits of the Spirit. No. The Bible says that the fruit of the Spirit, singular, is what? Is love. Every other thing that comes out of it are the expressions of that love. Hallelujah. Can I hear amen? Every other joy, gentleness, an expression of the fruit of the Spirit. It's like inside that fruit, you have the seed, you have the fibers, you have the juice, you have... All right, are you with me? So joy is inside love. Peace is inside love. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control, temperance. All these things are in the fruit of the Spirit that is love. So there's only one fruit of the Spirit. The only thing that the Spirit will produce in your life is what? It's love. That is the reason why it is the only motive. If that's what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 4, he said, do everything out of love. In Colossians chapter 3, he said, above all, put on love. There is nothing that is higher and greater than love. Jesus Christ came to the world to introduce love. Hello? The message of Jesus was the message of love. And that's why it offended the Pharisees and the lawmakers, because law and love are opposite ends. And I'm going to share that with us today. Amen. So, the fruit of the Spirit of... So, this series is looking at practical examples. Next week, I think it's Pastor Peter that's going to share on love is the greatest. How can you manifest the greatest? If you want to be great, if you want to touch somebody's life, how can you manifest that love? The following week, I'll talk about how to love your enemies. Can somebody say amen? How many people want to learn how to love their enemies here? Yeah. Hallelujah. Me too, I want to learn how to love my enemies because there are so many of them. Amen. So I want to learn it. So I want you to make sure you come on two Sundays from now when I share with us how to love your enemies. You know, I was sharing with... let me not preach that message. Praise the Lord. Because every time you teach on love, this thing comes up. You know, Pastor, will it not lead to abuse? If I love somebody the way you are telling me to love, will that person not begin to misuse the relationship? How many of us have heard that comment before? All the time I hear it. Every time I talk about this, that's the first question that comes up. Is that, if you treat somebody like this, the way you're asking me to treat people, people are going to go off the hook and start misbehaving. And then I have no ability to handle them. So we'll deal with that when I talk about how to love your enemies. But today, I want to talk to us that love is not a feeling. Can I hear amen? Love is not a feeling. And when I told somebody I was going to speak on love is not a feeling, he said, no, that heading is not correct. I said, why is that not correct? He said, because it should be love is not just a feeling. That the correct one should be love is not just a feeling. Well, I was feeling must be there. Hallelujah. But it's not the only thing that is there. But I said, no, that as far as I see from the Bible, there is no feeling in love, at least not in its primary manifestation. Love is not a feeling, that's my first point, because feelings are reactive. But God is love and God is proactive. Feeling is a reaction that you have to something that is done to you. Which will help me follow with the points. Love is not a feeling because feelings are reactive. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 from verse 4 to verse 7, which is where Paul listed all the characteristics of love. He says that love suffers long. That's love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Love is not puffed up. Love does not behave rudely. Love does not seek its own. Love is not provoked. Love thinks no evil. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Amen. Amen. There is no feeling mentioned there. If love is a feeling, the way we normally think about love in our pop culture, Paul should have said that love is mushy. Mushy. Love is fun. Love is love can be all those things, but those are not the primary manifestations of love. Love, if you are feeling loving, you are feeling happy. Amen. There's not a single emotion listed in the manifestation of love in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 to 7. The reason is because emotions are reactions. Feelings are reactions. If you are happy, you are reacting to something. If you are sad, you are reacting to something. If somebody is perpetually sad, the person has a medical situation. Is that correct? Somebody is perpetually happy, this person needs some attention. Amen. Feelings are a reaction. But God is love, and God is proactive. We know that God is not reactionary. Is that my phone? Hallelujah. Feelings are a reaction to an external stimuli. But God wants us not to be reactive in love, but to be proactive. Amen. If love is a feeling, it means that it will come and go based on what is happening around you. So some days you feel loving, the other days you don't feel loving. Why? Because the environment, you have become an environmental love. What do we call it in modern terms? Fair weather. You're a fair weather person. When things are going okay, you feel, oh, I really love Opeyemi because Opeyemi is acting very well. If Opeyemi is not acting very well, then you don't love him anymore. That's not the love of God. That's not genuine love. Amen. And that is the reason, and you see why this is so important. That's why the Bible says God is love. God is not reactive. You know, I made this comment last week, and I want to make it again. Because we have been taught and presented, maybe because of the way we read the Old Testament. But we forget that a good portion of the Old Testament, at least from the beginning of the law of Moses, God acted in that way because there was a conditional covenant in place. Are you with me? The covenant of the Old Testament was a conditional covenant. It was a conditional covenant that the people of God asked for. The people of God asked for that conditional covenant. And God says, oh, is that what I've come to make you a nation of priests? I've come to be your God. I've come to be your people. For you to be my people. I've come to love you unconditionally. But they say, no, God, anything you say, that's what we want to do. He said, really? Okay, I am the Lord your God. That's Genesis chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19. Then Exodus chapter 20, God now started presenting the law, which they never kept. Can I hear amen? So we often assume that this is how God is. But no, God is proactive. God loved us from eternity. You see that even in the laws and the prophets, he kept telling them that I have loved you with an everlasting love. Can somebody say everlasting? I've loved you with an eternal love. Amen. So that's the first point I want to bring. The reason why God's love is not a feeling is because if it is a feeling, that's only reacting to the environment. But if it is a decision, if it is a choice, then it doesn't matter what is happening. It is who you are. It is what you will be, no matter what. Can I hear amen? Praise the Lord. Which leads me to the second point, that the reason why love cannot be a feeling also is because if love becomes a feeling, it becomes about you. Because it is how you feel. Is what makes you happy. It becomes about you. And once it becomes about you, it becomes selfish. Can I hear amen? Once it becomes selfish, it is no longer love. God's love or God's kind of love is always selfless and it is other-centered and self-sacrificial. The fruit of the Spirit is what the Spirit produces. It is the love of God. And the love of God is never selfish. Let me bring this out. You see, the love of God is the love that exists in the Godhead. That exists in the Trinity. I don't know if I've shared this thing with us before, but if I've heard it before, please hear it because it's a very important point. You know, I remember listening to somebody and he said that the first concept in our head that we must correct when we're trying to understand the Bible, understand God, is to renew our mind with God being a community of three persons in one. It's theological, it is very hard to explain, but it's very important to accept. Because God being three in one, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit dwelling together in all eternity, lived in love. God is a community of love. Can somebody say community of love? God is love. Shall I say something that, and I don't want to distract the church today, amen. Because there was something I said when I was in Nigeria, and everybody screamed at me. Shall I say it? Amen. Okay, you don't have to agree with me on this point. In fact, this is one I permit you not to agree with, Pastor. Can I hear amen? So, I permit you not to agree with Pastor on this one. But what I said with them is, the Bible says in John, 1 John chapter 4, that God in his essence is love. God is love. In the beginning, in eternity, before anything was made, he existed as love. The Father loved the Son. The Son loved the Father and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit loved the Father and the Son. I used to describe it this way. I said, everything the Father did, he did for the Son and the Holy Spirit. I want you to pause and think about it. Think about it for 1 minute. That everything you do in this life, you do for another person. I want you to think about it. When you eat, you are eating for another person. When you sleep, it's because of another person. When you wake up, it's for another person. When you write, it's for another person. When you pray, it's for another person. When you sit down, it's for another person. When you get up, it's for another person. Everything you do for another. Praise God. Are you with me? That is how the Father is. In John chapter 5, Jesus Christ, when you go home, take your time and read John chapter 5. Jesus Christ said, everything the Father did, he did for the Son. And everything the Son does, he does for the Father. And everything the Holy Spirit does, he does for the Father and the Son. And everything the Son does, that's for the Holy Spirit and the Father. So imagine that existence. Imagine that being. Imagine such a life going on in all eternity. Brethren, that is the life of God. That is who God is. And so, when God made us, he made us out of the overflow of that life. It was like the Father and the Son when the Holy Spirit were enjoying themselves so much and they said, it is not good that we cannot have this love that we are sharing, that we can't share with other people. Let us make it drama so that she can come and participate in this love that we are experiencing. Can I hear amen? That is why we are here. We are here. That's why Peter says that we may be partakers of the divine nature. What is the divine nature? It's the nature of love. That's why he made us. That's why he created us. So the statement I made in Nigeria was this. That God in his essence is love. God in his essence is not holy. God in his essence is not holy. God in his essence is love. Praise the Lord. I know. I said, like I said, you are permitted not to agree with Pastor on this one. Amen. But let me explain what I mean. Holiness simply means set apart. Is somebody with me? So unique and so set apart, there's nothing like it. That's why we say the justice of God is holy because it's set apart. The love of God is holy because it's so set apart. There's nothing that compares to it. The mercy of God is holy. God is set apart.
But before God made anything, before anything was made, is there anything for God to be set apart from? When did the set apartedness of God begin? At creation. Until God created the first thing, there's nothing to be set apart from. So, from eternity, God is love, because God was already dwelling in love before he ever came out. Before anything came out. Amen. His holiness is a very important attribute of him. But at his core, that's not who he is. Because that only happened when he started to create things. Then he invites us into that holiness. He invites us into that love. Amen. Well, like I said, you don't have to accept it. Just take it out and think about it. But the reason why I bring it up is this. Is that the God kind of love is so special. It's so wonderful. And it is what he has invited you and I to participate in, to experience, and to enjoy. Amen? And that love cannot be selfish. Because the founders of that love, the originators of that love, there's no iota of selfishness in them. Praise the Lord. The third point I want to make is this. Therefore, the opposite of love is not hatred, but judgment. Maybe I should say the enemy of love. That's a better way to state it. The enemy of love, the enemy of this kind of love that I'm talking about, is not hatred, but judgment. What do I mean by that? To judge is to determine something as being either good or bad. And based on that, you relate with them. It's to judge that something is okay or not okay based on some certain laws and certain rules and certain principles. Amen. The moment you make a judgment on something, it becomes impossible to be totally selfless in loving that thing. Is somebody with me? Hello? Praise the Lord. I want to try to pass. You will get this point because this is the heart of this message. Judgment, determining, calling something good or evil or not good or good enough or good to a certain extent, passing judgment on an object immediately cuts off the flow of love to that object. The kind of love I'm talking about. The kind of love that will say, everything I will do for you. I mean, humanly, it's not possible. I mean, but God is asking us to aspire to it. Or God wants to produce it through in us. Can I hear amen? But the moment you start judging people, you start using any kind of criteria to judge people, what you do is that you create a blockage. That flow. That's why in that Galatians chapter 5, go back to that Galatians chapter 5. That's some examples here. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. The Bible says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Then he goes on, the next verse. He says, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. Against such, there is no law. Paul was saying that this fruit of the Spirit, when you are manifesting it, there is no law that is against it. There is no law that it transcends the law. That's the only way I can explain it. It's not that it breaks the law. It transcends the law. Can somebody say transcends? It goes over and above that any law, any view, any criteria, any way of assessing people. It goes over and above it and say, I will still love you irrespective of however I feel about you, whatever I think about you. Can I hear amen? It says to this man that no matter what you
how you behave, how you act, no matter how you may present yourself that I don't like, I have chosen to love you. I have chosen to value you. I have lifted you above all the laws, all the criteria that I could have used to assess whether you are good or not good. I have taken you above it and I have said, I will still walk in love with you. I will still value you. Can I hear amen? Let me take some practical example. Imagine, for example, you're married to a man or married to a woman, your spouse, or even your children. You know, every one of us have in our mind, in our subconscious, or from our culture, or from what we watch on TV, every one of us have in our mind certain criteria, certain expectations, certain rules, certain laws about what a good wife should be. Amen. Or what a good husband should be. Can I hear amen? Who doesn't have such expectations or laws in their mind? We all do. How many of us have? All right. So, for some of us, a good husband is somebody that provides for the family, leaves work at 5 o'clock and comes home and spends the day with their family, Saturdays and Sundays, takes the family out on outings, plans a vacation for the family. You know, these are some of the criteria or laws for a good husband. A good wife is somebody that, you know, is proficient in the kitchen, you know. There's this whole thing that I saw that's going on in Nigerian social media now about women cooking or not cooking. I'm like, what's going on? You know, a good wife is somebody that, you know, she can keep the home. You know, there's another conversation the other day. Keepers of home. You know, say we've written it down that if you are not keeping home as a woman, you are not a good wife or you are not a good woman. Amen. We all have all these criteria. If I relate with you based on criteria, on those expectations, if I interact with you, if I call you good or not good, because of these laws, these expectations, these rules that I have in my mind, the moment I relate with you based on those rules, it cuts off my ability to love you unselfishly. That is why the enemy of love is not hatred, but judging. If you are going to love somebody with the God kind of love, you must rise above the law. You must lift that person above every expectation, above every rule, above everything that you think makes for good or bad. The reason, and this is because love is not a feeling. Because if it is by your feelings, you have good feelings and bad feelings. Where the good feelings and bad feelings come from? They come from expectations. They come from rules. I don't like the way she talks to me. I don't like the way it's not good for me. And once you have rules and laws, all of a sudden, it becomes hard for you to say, I want to love you selflessly. Imagine if, for example, in this church, somebody comes into church, visits us. We have our expectations of what a Christian should look like or should act like or should talk like, right? Amen. There's nothing wrong with having expectations. Don't get me wrong, go. There's nothing wrong with having laws or having rules. You should have some rules that order and guide your life so that you can be comfortable. Amen. But if you want to love someone with an agape love, you have to raise the person above your rules. That's all I'm saying. You have to lift the person above your rules. The person might not have a certain expectation about how they should dress, how they should come to church, whether they come early or don't come early, whether they return your call or not return your call, whether they are serious or not serious. You may have all these expectations, but none of these should factor in your decision to say, I want to love you. None of it should factor. The reason, so, because so I remember
sharing this with somebody back in Nigeria. They say, so what is the reason for loving someone? I'm going to come to it. Amen. What is the reason for loving? Why should I? If I'm going to remove every reason, every criteria. Amen. God wants us to love because of the person, not because of yourself. That is why love is not a feeling. The moment you raise someone above your laws, above your criteria, above your rules, guess what will happen? Then you will suffer long with the person. Then you will be kind with the person. Then you will not boast against the person. Then you will not envy the person. The moment you raise the person above the laws, that is when you can hope all things. You can believe all things. Why? Because it's no longer the criteria between you and the person. That is the reason why. In order for God to bring us home, he had to take away the law, because the law was what stood between us and God. He had to take Jesus and nail the cross on the cross. Everything that was written against us, that was contrary to us, that was saying, God, turn your back on these people. God said, you know what? I want to love them in spite of the things that are against them. And so he raised Jesus to take it away and say, I will love you as you are. Can I hear amen? Amen. So that's what I'm asking us. Are we ready to quit judging and start loving? Let me also tell you why you cannot even judge. The reason why you cannot judge, it's because you don't have all the information to judge. Can I hear amen? You don't even have all the information to make a judgment. You are judging by what you see. That was what caused Eve to fall. The Bible says, then Eve saw with her eyes that the tree was good. A tree that God had said was bad. In her eyes, she used her own. I don't know where she got the criteria. The devil put a criteria in her head. He said it was good to eat. It is good to make you wise. And it was pleasant in the eyes. What was she doing? She was making a judgment on something that God has already said is cursed. That was how she fell. She didn't have the information on her own to judge that tree. Praise God. And so, the tree she was supposed to give to or minister to, she wanted to suck from. And that's what happens actually when we are judging people to see whether they meet a criteria for us to love them. Actually, what we are doing is that we are trying to suck from them. We are trying to get from them. Like, I like the way this young man looks. He looks clean, well-behaved, well-shaped. He's athletic. And then, I just love Opeyemi. But it's not Opeyemi I love. It is what Opeyemi does to me that I actually love. Is that correct? Because if I meet this other one, this person looks haggard. No, you are not looking haggard. I'm just using you as an example. This one looks haggard. He's not athletic. He's not, you know, I mean, he doesn't look clean shaven and everything. I feel repulsed when I see him. So I don't love him. It is not him that I love or don't love. It is what he's doing to me. So who is the person that I actually love? Myself. Even though I said I love Opeyemi because Opeyemi is clean-cut, he well-behaved, he does everything. It's not Opeyemi I love. What do I love? Because if Opeyemi starts looking like this one, then I no longer love. So who do I love? It's yourself that you love. Amen. The opposite of love, or the enemy of love, is not hatred. Is judging. So finally, why then should we love? 1 John chapter 1, chapter 4, verse 19 to 21. You can take that example across every relationship you have. If you love the church because the church is doing you well, and then the church is not doing well, you don't love the church anymore, you are judging. And it's not the church you love or don't love, it's yourself. If you love your son when they are doing well in school and they are performing, and then you don't love them again when they are not performing, it's not the son, it's yourself that you are loving. So why then should we love? I'm bringing it to an end. We should love, since love is not a feeling, love is a gift we give in response to God's love. 1 John chapter 4, 19 to 21. We love him because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God, but hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. The fruit of love is the Holy Spirit expressing his love through us to people. Can I hear amen? It is the love that we have received from the Holy Spirit that we are now expressing to others. So why should we love? You know, in the past, I used to quote that Deuteronomy 7:7. I still quote it because it's correct. Where God said, I love you because I love you. That's what God said in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 7. So, from that verse is where I get the reason why I should love everybody, anybody. And you know, sometimes you say, but this is the love for everybody. But I don't know that there's a love that, you see, I don't know if you get what I'm trying to say. The love for everybody does not dilute the love, you know. Praise God. The fact that this is the requirement for loving everybody does not now mean that it's now diluted. It's like saying that the Father loves Jesus Christ more than he loves the Spirit. That doesn't make any sense. There's only one love that exists in the Godhead. And that's the love that he has asked us to have, to express. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit loving us through people, or loving people through us. So why should you love? You should love because God loves that person. Can I hear amen? It doesn't matter who that person is. The person might be the one that has a gun pointed in your face and wants to shoot you. God loves that person. Therefore, you should love the person. You should love because God loves the person. Hey, but Pastor, that's just the general love for everybody because everybody is loved by God. That general love is the highest kind of love. That general love is the love that he says you should, if all men see it, they will know that you are truly my disciple. That general love is the love that took Jesus to the cross. Can I hear amen? So until your husband has gone to the cross for you, the husband's love is less than that love. Can I hear amen? Until your father has gone to the cross for you, your father's love is less than that love. Can I hear amen? That is the love that took God to the cross on your behalf. And because God has died for every person that you come in contact with, it behooves us to express his love to that individual. Amen. Why is love not a feeling? It is not a feeling because it is a decision that we make that through me, this man, this woman will know that God loves them. That's why I say that to love is actually to God someone. You know what I mean? Like when you say, I love you. I love you actually means I God you. What does I God you mean? It means I'm displaying God to you. Because God is love. To love someone is to display God to the person. It's to be, God is patient. So if I'm patient with someone, it's I'm displaying God to the person. God is kind. God is not kind to us because you have been good. How many of you know that if God wants to be kind to you only because you have been good, you won't be alive right now? He's kind to us because he loves us. Amen. The ultimate goal of your loving someone is so that they may know that God loves them. Usually, the question that then comes is, what about somebody that abuses it, doesn't respond to it, misbehaves, etc., etc.? I will deal with that next time, amen? But right now, God is calling us to make a commitment. What is the commitment? To love someone. You know, human hearts are restless. We are running to and fro. We are looking for something. Do you know what we are looking for? We are looking for home. We are looking for home. Because we all came from this place I described. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's where we all came out from. And so we are running to and fro the face of the earth looking for this place where we came from. We are on exile. That's what somebody put. Somebody put it, said we are on exile from our home of love. And people are looking for it in drugs, looking for it in sex, looking for it in porn, looking for it in money, in pleasures. But what are they looking for? They are looking for home. They are looking for the unconditional love of God. They are looking for a place where they can be safe, where they will not be judged, where they can be, how do I call it? I quote that passage in Genesis, where they can be naked and not ashamed. A place where you can leave them above all laws and criteria and say, even though you are falling short, you are still loved. You are still welcome home. Like that prodigal son. Even though he fell short, he was still welcome home. What he was looking for in the far country was actually home that he left. And that's what God is calling us to make available to people. When you see someone messing up their life, don't condemn them. It's home that they are looking for. When you see a young girl sleeping around, don't condemn her. It's home she's looking for. And if we provide her that home, what is home? The love of God. If she experiences that love of God from you, then you have gone a long way in bringing her back and giving her rest. St. Augustine said, our hearts know no rest until they find their rest in you. May the Lord use you to bring a restless soul home by raising them above laws and loving them just as they are. Let's bow our heads. Hear these praises from a grateful heart.
Each time I think of you,
praising in the name of Jesus.
There is. Thank you for listening to this audio message from Grace Life Center Charismatic Renewal Ministries. For more information about our church, please visit our website www.gracelifecenter.com or call 657-206-7729.
Break every chain, break every chain, yeah, to break every chain, break.